And we welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I think we're going to really have some fun today, and we're going to have our boundaries, our horizons broadened a bit, because we're going to be talking about the latest installment in Carthage College's New Play Initiative. And this latest installment is intriguing right from the get-go from its title, The Genderless Play Experiment. Joining us in the studios here of WGTD, first of all, Martin McClendon, who is a member of the theater faculty at Carthage, and he is serving as scenic designer for this production. And we have three Carthage students who are with us, who are members of the cast. We have Katie Leyendecker, who is a junior theater performance and English major at Carthage. Lily Anderson, who is a junior computer science major and theater minor. And finally, PJ Hebring, who is a sophomore theater major with a minor in secondary education and English. And I'm also delighted to say that joining us on the telephone is the playwright responsible for this play, the Genderless Play Experiment, CQ or C. Quintana. And joining us via the telephone. And a warm welcome to all three of you. Glad to have all of you here on the morning show.
Great to be here, Greg.
Thank Good. You so much for having us.
So glad we can have this conversation. So, Martin McClendon, I want to begin with a little bit of a history lesson, if we could. Tell us about this new play initiative, which we've talked about, of course, from time to time, but particularly for the sake of anyone listening who is unacquainted with this really impressive legacy at Carthage. Tell us about its beginnings and the kind of things that have happened over the course of its history.
Glad to, Greg. So we've been doing this for about 15 years. So about 2008, 2009, when we had the idea, Department Chair Herschel Kruger, about trying to commission a new play, because there's nothing like working on a world premiere, right, for our students. It's a very different process than working on an established classic or just a script that's been done before. There's so many new choices to make, and it's just a very exciting type of thing to do. So we really lucked out in that first year with Eric Simon.
Yes,
the future in Palestine is
area audiences as the author of the new hit Run Bambi Run, right at the Milwaukee Rep right now. So Eric did our first play, Honest, back in 2009. And so we've been doing this 15 years now. Every year we commission one of these plays. It's been a really great ride.
Tell us a little bit about that commissioning process, who is involved in it, the kind of discussions that go on. And then I'll be very interested to hear a bit about this specific commission. But before we get to that, just in general, how do these commissions typically take shape? What kind of conversations / negotiations are typically part of those conversations?
Sure. Well, it's very high-level stuff, Greg. Very high-level stuff. Basically, we start planning 2 to 3 years out for each of the commissions and start identifying playwrights. Dr. Neil Sharnick is really instrumental in that because he's really our theater wonk, you know, who really knows, has his finger on the pulse of what's going on and who's, you know, hot and up and coming. But Herschel's no slouch either. And so we reach out to folks and we see if there's interest. And so oftentimes once we start talking to someone too, it's very important to us that they understand it's really wide open, right? So topics, themes, et cetera, we do like folks to try to write for a college age performer, certainly. But we really try to pride ourselves in sort of no holds barred. If whatever the author wants to write about, you know, we're interested in seeing that and responding to it. Other than that, there are the typical kind of mundane negotiations that go on between, you know, agents and organizations and so forth. But we've been really blessed that we've had really amazing and strong playwrights really every year, folks who are just really interesting or doing interesting work.
And so I don't remember there ever being a case of this, but has it ever not worked out? By and large, has every playwright you've secured been able to take the project to final fruition?
Absolutely, yeah. And again, it is a 1 or 2 year process laid out of drafts as well. And so You know, that gives them a timeline, which has probably helpful, but also allows us to do workshops and engage the students, right? So we typically will have a reading of the brand new play the year before it premieres at Carthage, just within the department, so that the playwright can also hear it on its feet, as it were. And so it was with the generalist play experiment as well. So yeah, there's tracking that goes on to help. But yeah, we've never had a misfire, I guess.
Right. I suppose, nevertheless, I mean, although it's been this really marvelous track record, there's always that possibility that, I mean, when something
I
does not yet exist, but it sounds like part of this is really engaging writers who are on board and understand what this is all about and kind of understand the framework, the environment, who they're working with, who they're writing for. I'm sure all of that has a great significance, and you think about that at the outset. You don't wait to discover if they have those qualities. You look for that in the people you commission.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of authors, and maybe CQ can speak to this when we get CQ into the conversation, but I think some of them look forward to, oh, this is an interesting new challenge for me, and maybe I haven't written for young people before. Or, you know, oftentimes here in American theater, we're going towards smaller casts just for financial reasons. Well, here in a college setting, you can be a little bit more generous with your cast size. If you're looking at a story idea, you might be kicking around that has a larger cast as well. And our students and faculty are used to working on new plays and sort of flying blind a little bit and making those kind of choices. You know, I mean, we do verbatim plays. We put that on the schedule. We don't even know what the play will be, right? I mean, we haven't interviewed the people yet. We haven't made it yet. So I think we're kind of used to taking a leap of faith with our authors as well.
Right. Martin McClendon is on the theater faculty at Carthage College, and with us on the telephone is CQ, C. Quintana, who is the playwright for this newest installment in the new play initiative, something called the Genderless Play Experiment. Martin, anything you want to say about the commissioning of this particular playwright for this particular project?
Well, I wasn't as involved as Herschel was and CQ was, so I might want to defer that to CQ in terms of, you know, what the original kind of like mission statement was of it or whatever. I do just want to say it's super exciting to be doing something that is sort of really on the cutting edge of where we are as a society in terms of figuring out some new ways to explore and maybe go over traditional roles and boundaries. And that's something that really sits very well in a college setting. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is interrogating what the present looks like and what the future might look like and how the past has informed it.
Very good. And pushing the envelope. So CQ, C. Quintana, we are so happy that you are able to join us via the telephone to be part of this conversation. And we'll be bringing in the three students in just a moment. So you have a very intriguing career, I must say, a widely published playwright, poet, screenwriter. And from the very start, has your career been one of, in a sense, in the best sense of the word, creative restlessness? I mean, really enjoying a lot of exploration of a lot of different genres? Or did you begin with more of a single focus that has turned into this wonderfully varied career?
You know, I love that. I'm gonna have to take that from you. I think that restlessness, I would say, as a writer, I'm very excited to work in different forms, and I think I always have been. I will say that theater has been a long love of mine, and I think I will, you know, always return to the theater when I can, because, as you know, it's just, there's no form like it. And I think, especially in this moment in time, in this day and age, to be able to sort of be in community with people live and in person and to experience this kind of very, like, really, you know, I think in this play sort of has that quality, but like sort of this ephemeral thing, you know, it's this thing that you can't ever really fully touch. And I think there's something very attractive about that. And just the opportunity to work with actors is always, for me, something that I return to, because there's nothing like, you know, as I was actually just saying to the director yesterday, it's like, you know, having your own personal dramaturg for each character, you know, when you're developing a new work, it's, you know, there's nothing quite like that. And so I do love the theater, and I also will continue to write in it as long as I can.
How different is it writing for theater versus, for instance, writing for television, which you've done a fair amount of? I mean, are they vastly different undertakings?
Yeah, you know, I would say it's funny. I think there's a lot, of course, that's similar. I think playwrights are really wonderful for television. I mean, as we're seeing, you know, we've seen so many playwrights in every single writer's room, basically, in the country at this point. There are playwrights. And I think, you know, the collaborative nature of playwrights, the fact that, like, we're so keen, we know how to produce things, we know how to make things happen. I think that makes sort of playwrights really great for TV. One of the things that I think I really miss about theater or what working on plays when I'm working in television is in the production process, it's so fast. You know, TV production, it's like, you know, when you're filming a scene, you really don't have a ton of time to work with the actors, you know, and that is something I love so much. You know, and ideally, you know, if you have like great actors, you're having conversations, off screen and ideally you're doing read throughs and such. But when you're in the theater, when you're in a rehearsal process and you can actually really dig into a world and you can ask those questions and you can investigate in a really exciting way, and you're really, you know, building this together. And not that you don't feel that in television, because of course you do, but there's just a kind of direct connect to the text, you know. Playwriting, you know, the play is the thing, right? That's the most beautiful thing about being a playwright. And I think that's anytime playwrights are writing in television, I think they're hungry to return to the theater, where it's like, the play is it, you know, the text is it at the end of the day. Yes, there can be wonderful, and as you'll see with this show, you know, there's wonderful technical work happening. But at the end of the day, if the writing isn't good, if the acting isn't good, it's, what is it? You know, that's all it is, really, at the end of the day.
I want to ask about this invitation that came from Carthage, and whether or not you had ever been given an opportunity exactly like this before, or did this represent, as Martin was saying, for some of the people who have been involved in the New Play Initiative, you know, kind of a new adventure, something a little different from anything you had ever undertaken before? Or have you been down this particular sort of road before?
I've done a good amount of commissions at this point, and I have worked with students. I have worked in a college setting, but I've never had an opportunity to sort of build a play specifically for a group of students in this way. And I, you know, from the get-go, when I learned about it, I just was like, you know, I thought about myself when I was in college and how amazing. I wish I would have had that opportunity to work with a living playwright, you know. I remember working with directors that were sort of out in the field, and that in and of itself was incredible. So, it was totally unique in terms of my past experience, and I was really excited about it.
Tell us what you thought about when this opportunity came your way in terms of exactly what you wanted to do for Carthage and the final form of the genderless play experiment, which opens this Friday night. How closely does that resemble your initial thoughts on what you might want to create for Carthage?
You know, I think I was just, speaking to Martin's point, I think one of the most amazing things about working with, you know, these students has just been like sort of this gameness, you know, this excitement about creating, you know, something new and something fresh. And I think I have wanted to build this particular project for a while, and this was the perfect opportunity to do so. You know, it was really, really exciting for me because this is it's a weird one. You know, it's weird, and it's kind of, you know, it's off the walls. We're breaking the fourth wall. We have, you know, dance parties built into the show, you know. So I think I feel really excited that they sort of answered that call. You know, when I said it to Hershel, I said, this is what I want to do. I want to make something fun and community driven. I want to, you know, sort of anti-pandemic us. I'm ready for a kind of big celebration in the theater. I want people to feel joy walking out of this space. And I think that, you know, I really appreciate how Hershel and the students and the designers and Lucky, who's our director, really all just really answered that call.
You you or somebody has described the genderless play experiment as a direct address exploration of queer joy that breaks our preconceived notions about gender, sexuality, and identity. All of that is interesting, but what I really want to ask you about is that very first part, a direct address exploration. What's meant by those words? I mean, and I don't know if those are your words or someone else's words, but to whatever extent those words resonate with you, that description, what's meant by that, a direct address exploration?
Yeah, I think what I really mean is, you know, exactly that, you know, in the sort of Shakespearean sense of the word, breaking the fourth wall. What this play is, the audience is an active component of this play. And I've tried really hard in thinking about this idea of what is sort of an invitation of any play. And I think the invitation of this play, as is a quote which you will experience within the play, is, you know, the glitter changes for you and let it be yours. And that is the entire invitation of the play, which is, if you want to bob your head in your seat and that's as involved as you want to get, that's great. If you want to jump up out of your seat and dance a little bit, that's even better. But honestly, every version in between is fine. But I think that idea is that there is this idea of you, right, which is introduced very early in the play. And I think the idea is just, you are a part of it. We're all a part of it. And I think, yes, it's a celebration of queer joy, but beyond that, I think it's more expansive, and it's just a celebration of humanness. And everyone is invited to that celebration, you know?
Another part of the description of the genderless play experiment describes it as a series of cabaret-style vignettes. Can you illuminate those words just a little bit? In what way are we going to feel like we are in a cabaret of sorts?
I think just in my mind, it's just sort of that we're dealing with a lot of this kind of idea of, you know, audience involvement, that you're going to experience these actors moving in and out of the aisles. It's going to be, it's not the traditional, the actors are on stage, you know, the lights are hanging in the distance and you clap and that's it and you leave. It's not that kind of a show. So I think in the idea of cabaret style vignettes, it's really like, just expect there's going to be a lot happening. This isn't your traditional well-made play. That's what I'll say.
One other question, and then I'm anxious to bring in our students. Tell us about the timeline in terms of your initial thoughts about this versus somewhat at least finished script was presented to the cast for them to explore. What kind of timeline are we talking about?
I actually was first approached fairly early. I mean, I believe that it was like early. I'm actually in the midst of the pandemic. I think it was 2021. I know because I was working with the Kennedy Center. And then basically I was brought, once I actually signed, you know, the commission, I came last year in December of 2022 and did the first read through of the draft with the students. And then I was back in May for auditions and the opportunity to work with our students who actually were cast in the show. And then I was here in the fall for the beginning of the rehearsal process. It's been over a year or about a year that I've been involved directly with the students, and, you know, a year and a half or so, almost 2 years, that I've been working on the project itself.
For those of you just joining us, we are talking about the next theatrical production at Carthage College. It's called The Genderless Play Experiment. It's the latest installment in Carthage's new play initiative, which has been around for 15 years or so. And we have with us on the telephone the playwright, C. Quintana. Also with us from the Carthage Theater faculty, Martin McClendon. And I'm so happy to say that we have three students who are with us as well, who are all members of the cast. And I have lost their names. Here they are, Katie Leyendecker, Lily Anderson, and PJ Hebring. So I'm really excited to hear from the students about your initial encounter with the genderless play experiment. Did you get to sit down and see a script before you even auditioned, or were you auditioning for this with that, knowing relatively little about what this work was going to be like?
I had seen the script. It was posted with the audition notice.
This is Lily.
I read through it, and I really enjoyed it, and I was like, I'm for sure auditioning for this show.
What did you enjoy about it?
I liked how the characters were all, you know, nondescript. It could fit anybody. I thought that was a very enticing part of a show because it allowed you to build your own character rather than being like, all right, here's a character description. This is kind of what we want them to do. It felt more like an open-ended, like, what do you want to do with the character?
Hmm. Very good. How about the other students here? This is PJ.
Yeah, so they had these readings that I actually could not attend. So to some aspect, I kind of went into this audition just kind of like it sounds really interesting and I want to be a part of it just from how interesting that it sounds. And so when I got to the audition, I had done a little bit of reading and I had talked to all my friends who could go to that and they were like, it's right up your alley. Like, this is exactly what you should be auditioning for. And I went to the audition and I really enjoyed even just the process of auditioning and I was like, if this is what the rehearsals are going to look like, I want to be in this even more.
Wow. Can you be more specific about what you enjoyed in that audition process? What was intriguing to you?
Yeah, so it was a lot of devising, which was really interesting because with the play, like kind of like what Lily was saying, there's like a set, like this is what exactly what you're doing at this time. And with this play, it's more open-ended to some aspect. Like, we were able to do some improv moments, and we were able to work in some, like, it's just mostly about the conversations we were having as well. Like, we were able to talk about it, and then they were like, great, how can we incorporate that into here? Like, there were so many times in rehearsals where we were like, okay, so what if we had rubber ducks that we threw around? And then Lucky would be like, great, I'll mention it at the next production meeting. And we'd be like, we were kind of joking, and they were like, well, we're not. So...
Interesting. Okay. Well, I like that. And Katie, what about you?
I was actually able to attend the read-through that they had for the department, and so that was really, really fun to get to see the play on its sort of like initial feet, and then to have the audition notice sent out with the script. I kind of reread it and reacclimated myself with the world that was created, and it was really interesting to see the ways that I could tell that it had changed or the intention going into it. It was really, really interesting just to see a play from beginning sort of-ish to where it is now.
And tell us a little bit about the open-endedness that each of you in various ways have kind of talked about. I mean, in terms of your characters not being strictly set, I mean, for instance, do your characters have names? Or are you told anything about who these people are?
No. So our characters do not have names. They have kind of titles, I guess, is what the more appropriate term would be. Like, for instance, Katie's U2, the educator. I play U4, the performer. And Lily is U6, the spiritualist. So we're all soul archetypes, which there's actually a quiz out there you can take that'll tell you, I guess, what your more dominant soul archetype is. And I guess in some aspect, our titles give some sort of what who we are away, but not enough to the point where you can really pinpoint like who this character is to their core. So you really are shaping this character from the ground up in whatever way you think is more appropriate.
Very interesting. We're going to take a quick pause and we want to get back our playwright, if we can, on the phone to continue this conversation. We're talking about the Genderless Play Experiment, the latest installment in the new play initiative at Carthage College, and I'm Gregory Berg. The time is 8:35. And we're going to continue with our conversation. Our conversation about the genderless play experiment at Carthage College. Unfortunately, the playwright, C. Quintana, could only be with us for a portion of the time, so we will not have them with us for the remainder of the conversation. It was great to make their acquaintance. And we do still have with us, though, faculty member Martin McClendon and three students who are part of the cast, Katie Leyendecker, Lily Anderson, and PJ Hebring. So we've just kind of touched on the matter of your characters do not have names. They are not very specific in any way. And I assume that means then that when it came to actually casting the play, in a sense, anybody could play anything. So in what do you have a sense of why you were given your respective roles? And I'd love to hear what your specific roles are. And are there particular reasons why you were given your particular assignment? This is Katie.
We've all kind of talked about this a little bit. We don't really know why, but every single one of our characters, we're just like, yeah, that's you. Like, we're all kind of like our characters in a lot of ways. And I think that's kind of something that really helped shape this show and who our characters are, is all of us feel so deeply correlated and related to who we're playing. And I don't know if that's just something they saw in us during the auditions, is they were like, yeah, this person is definitely the educator, the caretaker, the performer, whatever. Or if we're, I don't know, it just really worked out that way.
And who is your character again, Katie?
I am the educator.
The educator, okay. And this is PJ.
Yeah, it was honestly really strange because I never really saw myself as the performer until I actually sat down with the script, because I actually never read for the performer when I thought back to the audition. I read for, I think, quite literally every single other character. And then I got there and I was like, oh my God, I'm the performer? Okay, what? And then I was reading it and I was like, this is some weird Zodiac quiz stuff that I just went through, because this is so me. Like, everything that, I don't know why I was so worried about if I could do justice to this role, because I was like, oh, they're me. Like, everything down from just what they go through the play, and just to, like, what they talk about and how they, I guess, really present themselves in the play, just, it feels right to me, and it really, it just feels so me in a way, which is, it's a really weird conversation to have.
Hmm. Interesting. How about you, Lily?
So during the audition process, I was actually, everybody else was released and I was held for like 10, 15 extra minutes to read for the character that I ended up getting cast as. So I felt like that not was like a sign or anything, but that was like probably the deciding moment, was those 15 minutes that I was held back. And when I was leaving, because everybody else had, you know, abandoned, it was 10:30 at night at that point, so they should have gone home. I felt, walking back, I was like, I see why I read for that character. Maybe not that I was going to get it, but I see why the specific readings that they were having me doing was things that I had brought up in the audition process prior, and they were like, let's narrow in on that, and they gave me a few, like, directions, and then were like, take this how you want to do it. And I think that was, like, the selling point, was that last 15 minutes I did. And I feel like the rest of this show has been everybody's, like, every rehearsal has been everybody's, like, quote, last 15 minutes. It's been their moment of being like, this is why I'm in this character. And I see that in everybody, every rehearsal.
Interesting. Wow. So is there a script in the standard sense of the word? I mean, a strict script that you have to follow? And if so, then where is this input that you are all really excited about?
So, yes, there is a script. And the funny thing is that, like, the script to me is just dialogue. Like, that, those are just the lines that we say. There's really no stage direction, which I guess you can count blocking as part of the devising we're doing, but it's really what's going on and how we interact with each other, because there's some moments where there's some really nice improv, I guess you could say. It's not vocal improv, but it's just, you'll see all the characters interacting with each other, with the audience. There's some really nice moments where we're even just interacting with the set in playful ways that you wouldn't really see in any other play, because it's just so set. It's a really, like, I'm going to use liquid because it flows kind of a play.
Wow. Very intriguing. So from performance to performance, of course, you haven't even started performing yet, but do you anticipate that every performance will be very much like every other performance, or I'm seeing shaking heads. No. Tell us more about how this will not be quite so set in stone.
Well, so CQ kind of touched on it. There's audience participation. Mm-hmm. Much of how our energy is going to be, I think we'll put on a show no matter what. But how it feels and, like, what is driving it, that's going to change when the audience changes, which I think is super cool.
Wow. Did you want to add something, Katie?
I think also, too, that since it is so, like, audience participation-based, right now we're rehearsing, and even though we're performing every single night we're rehearsing, we don't get the audience participation part of it. So we go out and we do these things, and we're like, yeah, audience, and there's no one in there. And so by the time we're opening and there's actually an audience, that is going to change so much about what we're doing, because we'll actually get people in there to do the things that we're asking them to do.
That'll feel amazing, I'm sure. So we haven't yet really talked about the plot, and I have a feeling what you're going to tell us is that there really isn't a plot in the standard sense of the word, in terms of a chronological arc of first this happens, then this happens, and then this happens, or is there?
Oh yeah, there is a plot, and I'll let the students fill in more details, and we don't want to give too much away, of course, but it's a love story and a mystery as well. There's something missing that has to be found, and there's also maybe some connections that need to be made, and so there is definitely a chronology and a sort of maybe we'll throw it over to PJ, because U4 is sort of central to that central core story about what the journey of the play is about and how it relates back to the title too.
And I guess one of the reasons I assume there wasn't a plot in the standard sense of the word is this description of it being a series of cabaret-style vignettes. And a series of vignettes does not, to me, say that it's going to be, you know, a kind of a standard plot, but I guess one can take a plot and present it in a lot of different ways, and it sounds like this is one of them. So tell us more.
Yeah, so there is a plot, and the way that I see it is that, like Martin was saying, there's this one continuous plot line, and there's maybe, I'd have to say, two little sub-things going on, but it's broken up with these little breaks, and the breaks are very purposeful because, in my opinion, no one can sit through a straight play. Like, I mean, yes, you can, but you'll sit there kind of like, oh, what's happening? When is it over? So it's kind of breaking it up with these purposeful moments of getting up and dancing and really feeling what the play is telling you, which is really, really helpful, because it's not like you're like, okay, so we're pausing to dance. All right, I guess I'll get up and dance. There's like these moments of this happened. We're going to talk about this. Feel it. Here's music. Go. And then afterwards, it's kind of like a, all right, let's ease back into it. So it's more of like a, it's a plot line with a dance break is where those vignettes come in, is the only way I can describe it.
Oh, interesting. Okay, now I think I'm getting the hang of it. So let's talk about this matter of genderlessness. Of course, that word is proudly emblazoned in the title of this brand new work. So describe the way in which this play, first of all, itself is genderless, and also the way in which that notion of genderlessness is explored in what happens through the course of the play.
I would say the show itself is genderless. There's no like typecast. You can't put this show on and have the same people play it year after year. It has to be a changing kind of entity. I think that's where, like, at the core of the show, that's where that's from. Working on the show at Carthage, I feel like it's genderless with how are we building the set? How are we building the costumes? How are we building our relationships with each other and within the cast? That all seems more like a like in-depth way that we're just exploring things for fun, not about social constructs or whatnot, just what is happening, not what do I think should happen.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd have to agree with Lily. I feel that, like, it's not like we're trying to really pinpoint, like, we're not trying to force to people, like, this is genderless. You can't see gender here. That's not the point of the play. I think it's just kind of, like, watch it going in and just sitting down wanting to see the play, and you'll get exactly what we want you to see out of it. You shouldn't come in thinking like, oh, they're going to sit there and preach to me about gender for an hour and a half. It's just about feeling like you, which is why I think it's our names have the word you in it, because I feel like it's not about genderlessness necessarily. It's about how you feel in your own body as a person with your gender.
Interesting. And that's an important distinction.
And the play does this really good job of kind of interweaving the conversation about gender and what it's doing in society right now, while also having the story of like what's going on in these six people's lives and where is that line between who they are on the stage versus who they are when they quote unquote leave the stage, because it's very much like a play within a play.
Yeah, I will also add too that like gender in this play is also seen and depicted as an object, which is really interesting because to me that means that it's something that you take with you and it's not who you entirely are. Like your gender doesn't encapsulate who you are, it's just something that you have.
So one of the things we touched on is how the playwright was with you for a while at the outset, and then the playwright, CQ, has returned and is in town now and will be here for the opening, I assume. So take us back to the outset of when you first were able to sit down with the playwright, and I think one of you described it as kind of a workshop situation. Tell us about what that workshopping was like at the outset.
Yeah, we got to sit down and, well, first we read the script back in May, and then we came back forever ago, aka a month ago, which is so long, to read the script. And for that first week, it was a lot of like, does this line sound okay? Do you think your character would say that? How does this moment feel between X character and Y character? And kind of talking through all the moments that we have as individuals and as an ensemble to make sure that not only is CQ's voice being heard, but so is ours. Like, it was very much a collaborative process of, like, how do you guys think that this is sounding? Is this doing what we want it to do? So it was a lot of, like, hey, maybe let's try this, and then going, maybe not, let's try this instead. And just that whole week kind of changing the script. I think we got, like, two or three different versions of the script that week.
Yeah.
Wow. Tell us more about what happened and your interaction with the playwright, and also if this is something you'd ever experienced before.
No, this is not ever something I've ever experienced where I've got to sit down and be like, I have a question, what am I even saying? And then they either tell me what I'm trying to say, or they're like, no, you're so right, let me rewrite that for you. There were so many moments where I like read it and I was like, why am I being so mean to some of these characters? And either they were like, well, think about it this way, and then they would place me in the plot of like, really think about it like that, or they'd be like, no, yeah, you are being kind of mean. Let me look at that. So it was just a really interesting process of being able to discuss it and actually getting that out of it. Because never before have I read a script and been like, why am I saying this? And then actually getting an answer. Like, there have been so many times where I, like, make a choice and I'm like, is this really what the playwright wanted? And so now it's really nice to get that affirmation of the playwright wanting this. Because at the end of the day, the actors are putting on the playwright's vision. So it's really cool to see us do that and actually watching the playwright see their vision come to life.
Very good.
And sometimes these changes were as simple as swapping out a word for a different one. I think a few times we changed, back to your seat to like back to where you started. Maybe you weren't sitting or something. Maybe you were standing the entire time. So I think to me the subtle changes were what felt most involved. There were some like big changes that happened during that first week, but I wasn't thinking about that yet. I was thinking about like, all right, why does this word fit better than that? Should we investigate all the words? I thought it was a very interesting dive into what are you allowed to do if you're just allowed to modify something, which is pretty cool.
Fantastic.
I gotta break in here. The generosity of CQ to be able to be so vulnerable and free with allowing our students to take their ownership of their roles. You know, not every playwright does that. Every playwright has a different process. We respect all of them that we've worked with, right? But this is something that I think we're so grateful for, that the students have these opportunities. Every playwright does some kind of level of workshopping, but this is above and beyond. And I think in conjunction with Lucky, too, who's been a fantastic leader on this project in terms of bringing out CQ's voice, but also helping y'all come to the place where I think you find the most satisfaction in your work. So it really, it has been a really amazing collaboration between playwright and director as well, that when I've been in the room and seen that happening too.
Right. I don't remember if it was before we went on the air or early in the conversation that you touched on the matter of not only bringing in a playwright, but a guest director as well. And was there a particular reason to do that in this instance?
Yes, we do bring in guest directors on a regular basis just because we want to have the students have the opportunity to work with someone other than us, right? Mm. Especially because, you know, I'm an old white guy. I mean, frankly, I'm an old cis white guy, and I would have not felt right directing this play because I think it has to come from a different perspective, a younger perspective, a queer perspective, and so we really wanted to honor that as well. You know, trying to align the play itself with the team that's doing the play, you know, and creating authenticity that way, but also hopefully a beacon for students to realize and understand, you know, that the message of the play is real, which is life is up to you, right? I mean, you can decide what you want to be, and you can change it, like the leaves on a tree, as they say in the play, too, right? But I don't know, maybe you want to tag along on that or say a comment about what the process has meant for you working with Lucky. I don't know.
Lucky has, it's also just been that they've created such a nice space for us to really think about things and to really just be so open, like not just open-minded, but open talking wise. Like if we ever had a doubt, a question, or if we even were in the middle of a scene and we're like, can I just get something off my chest? We've been able to do it. Like even if it, not, I'm not talking about getting something off your chest, like in your personal life, like, man, I've been thinking about this homework assignment. Like if we were in the middle of something and we were like, I really just want to say this about this scene, we were able to do so. And we would talk about it right away. If we ever had like an idea, we'd work it. And whether or not it came to fruition or not didn't matter, because at least you got to work it out and see if it could even be a possibility. It was just a really nice space to explore. And that's all we did, which it's really cool to see that actually like coming to life and not just like, right, we're on a wooden stage for 4 hours a night, let's see what we're gonna do today. It's really nice now having the tech there to really support that, because it's so real now.
Very good.
I will say also, PJ said like, oh, I'll just get this off my chest and, you know, blah blah blah, not going into like our personal lives, but also like Lucky made it very important that at the beginning of pretty much every rehearsal we did a check-in, because Lucky was very aware like we're college students and we have lives that are happening every single day on top of this show. And so they wanted to make sure like we got the opportunity to say, hey, I'm doing X, Y, and Z thing and it's making me happy, or oh, I'm doing this thing and it's kind of bumming me out or whatever. And making sure that we then created a space where we felt comfortable expressing what's happening in our lives, and then being able to then use this play to make something better that might be bringing us down, or we're having a really happy day and now my day is going to get happier because we have rehearsal. And Lucky just made it such an open and honest space for everyone, and I think that also really helped a lot in the terms of like bonding with our castmates, because there's only 7 people in the show, so it's really nice to have such a small group where we have the time to be able to say, hey, are you okay, what's happening?
That's great. So the playwright, CQ, was back with you for how long? How long has she has CQ been around recently?
A day.
Oh, okay, not so much. So what was your sense of CQ's response to what she's what they saw in terms of this, what had happened since the last time they were there?
Luckily, they had a good response to everything that we were doing. But I will say for this last day was probably the, like, not scariest rehearsal we had, but the most where it was like, oh, we, this is like real, real for like actual. So having CQ come in and like confirm what we're doing, or be like, oh, I noticed this part, and then we can be like, oh yeah, I've been feeling that, but I hadn't been thinking about it. It's a nice, like, when somebody steps into something that you've been doing for so long and they have opinions that aren't, that are just like genuine, like, oh, this is what I've been observing, let me talk through them. It's a very nice moment. We've been in rehearsals for 4 hours a night, 5 days a week, for like 4-5 weeks now. So having somebody who was in there in the beginning, stepped out, took a break, and is coming back, it's like a very refocusing kind of moment.
Sure. Well, how exciting. So it opens Friday night. Martin McClendon, what do people do if they are interested in seeing one of the performances of the genderless play experiment?
It's very simple. Just go to carthage.edu/tickets and get your tickets, folks. And Friday night, we will have a talk back after the show with the creative team as well. So Friday would be a great time to see it. But any time's the best time, frankly.
Very good. Martin McClendon is a member of the theater faculty at Carthage College and the scenic designer for this production. With us in the studios as well, three students at Carthage who are members of the cast, Katie Leyendecker, Lily Anderson, and PJ Hebring. And we were really privileged to have for a few minutes over the telephone the playwright, CQ, C. Quintana, and to be part of this conversation. Thank you to all of you for being part of the morning show today. I know it's a busy week, and I appreciate you your willingness to get up a little earlier than you otherwise would have to be a part of this conversation. And best wishes to you and everybody involved with the genderless play experiment.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you.
Our weather forecast calls for sunshine to give way to increasing clouds. We're headed for a high of 41 degrees, overnight low of 32, tomorrow's high 50 degrees. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, NPR News.